The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Beloved Aunt Esther, minder, defender, slave and best friend is just one of the characters populating the debut book by my next guest. It details a childhood in 1970s and 80s working class Dublin. It's called Can I Have Your Charm Bracelet When You Die? Its author is writer, actor, singer, comedian and barrister Sheila Hamilton, who's with me now. Sheila, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm going to make you blush now because there's a guy called John Patrick Shanley, who's an Academy Award winner, Pulitzer Prize winner, Tony Award winner, who said this. Every page of Sheila Hamilton's book, Can I Have Your Charm Bracelet When You Die, crackles with electric joy. Her senses careen through the Irish days and nights with greedy wonder. Even when she detours into New York, it's her mythology of love that shapes the town. I can't recommend it enough. It's a genuine dose of something strong, a mighty remedy for an ailing world. Give it a taste. You'll be better for it.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. I'm still in shock.
And so, do you know him? Is he a pal?
No, he's not a pal at all. Someone in New York that I know gave it to him and said, maybe give him a call and see if he'll read it for you. And he said, look, there's a long queue of books. And then I sent him an email and I said, look, please try and read it. I'd love a review or a blurb.
And he did.
So
and
he
this
did.
Is what we got.
And I'm absolutely thrilled because I'm a massive fan of Doubt with Meryl Streep, and Moonstruck with Cher was my mother's favourite film of all time. So, yeah, it was like I had to sit down. I couldn't believe it. I was
Sheila,
shocked.
How did this book come about?
Well, I was actually waiting on a kidney transplant, and I was pre-theatre, and I kind of was thinking, did I enjoy my life, you know? Did I
You were thinking this may be the end
if
I don't come through this.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking, okay, well, ask yourself, did I have a good time? And then I said, yeah, I had a ball. I had a great time. And I thought back to my childhood of being in New York and everything that happened and the people that loved me, like my grandmother, my Auntie Esther, my mother, my family, extended family, and just the Dublin I grew up in, like neighbours and friends, because I grew up between Crumlin and Pier Square in Pier Street. And there was just a time that was kind of magical when I grew up, you know. Doors were open and I loved the Dublin. And my nanny was a street trader. She called herself a dealer. And my Auntie Esther. And they were just adorable. Like, they were ordinary Dublin women. And they were just gorgeous, you know.
Your nanny, as you say, she was a street trader. She called herself a dealer or whatever.
Yeah.
Tell me what she did, because she had a pram.
Yeah, she had a Silver Cross pram. And she walked from Crumlin down to Smithfield Market. And she got a fish and fruit and veg every day and walked back up the hill to Christchurch. And she sold them. She sold them to a lot of her customers were Jewish in what they call Little Jerusalem.
Glen Brazel Street,
yes,
all around there.
Along there. And she used to take me with her and she was hilarious and she was gorgeous. And that's what she did. She sold fruit and veg.
And she puffed up that hill
from
the Smithfield Market up by Christchurch under the arch.
Yes. And she was supposed to retire and was told by her doctors in her 70s, it's in the book.
Yeah.
And it's my birthday one day and my father catches her. She's saying, I'll never do it again. That's me done. I'm done now. I'm retired. And then he sees her pushing the pram up the hill.
Like a bold child.
Like a bold child walking. And he's saying to her, yeah, well, what are you doing? You were told by the doctors. And she's saying, go along, Awada, leave me alone. Go on, Awada, you're making a show of me. But she was hilarious and gorgeous. Yeah.
You grew up in her home.
I grew up between her house when I was younger. I spent an awful lot of time with her and my Auntie Esther. And then my home, my mother and father in Pier Square. My mother was an artist. So my mother was eccentric and wild and kind of thought as like, do anything you want, go anywhere you want. You can be anything you want, basically.
And that's where you got it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. She used to just
that
say,
free spirit.
Yeah, she was. She's brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Now, when you were growing up with your Aunt Esther, who was, what, 20 years older than
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
But she was a pal as much as an aunt.
Oh, she was like, well, I thought she was my best friend. She was my best friend. But she was in her 20s and I was 6 and 7 and 8. But she brought me everywhere and was wonderful to me. And a lot of the book is about that really special relationship that you have with someone that you really love. Like, not your parents sometimes, like an aunt or a grandmother or a grandfather, someone that's really sweet to you and kind of gives you that kind of unconditional love. And no matter what you do, you're never wrong.
You capture an era that is probably long gone. We're still in the era of Spit on Me, Dickie Rock.
Yeah.
Getting ready to go out. It's an array of stuff, including rollers. You're watching your Aunt Esther getting ready to go out.
Yeah, the makeup and the hot rollers. And they're going up to see Dickie Rock and Joe Dolan. And there's a lot of excitement about the live shows. And so all of that, like, it's a lot of fun in the book. Like, the book is very funny as well. And it does capture a Dublin. It captures a Dublin that I didn't want anyone to forget either, because I was like, What if no one remembers this time? Like, and not many people have written about that time in the 70s and 80s. And I wanted to capture it because I had neighbours and friends and there were doors open. And, you know, if anyone passed away, people dropped in stews and coddles. And, you know, if you were sick, someone took your child and minded or him or whatever. But there was a lot of community in the inner city and in Crumlin as well, like where my grandmother was.
And Crumlin has changed too, alas, in so many ways. There's a certain category of people who are making life miserable for many
others.
And
the thing is, the beautiful people that were there and that, you know, that I grew up with, like these gorgeous Dubliners and also Irish people. There's a lot in the book as well about the people. Everyone sang, everyone played piano, everyone had an instrument. Like, we had piano parties when I was growing up, you know, and we'd have like older aunts come in and they'd bang hell out of the piano.
Now, what age were you when you left school? And what did you do?
I was, well, when I left school, I was 17 and a half and I was going to go to college. And then I said, no, I'm not going to college. I'm going to New York. So
Illegally?
Maybe illegally. Yeah, it was totally illegal. I went on holiday and forgot to come home. And my mother at the time, I didn't have the money to go. And she gave me her engagement ring. And she said, well, just get it back for me. But, you know, go. And when you come back, get it back for me. And I said, oh, I promise. And I lost the ticket. And when I came home.
You pawned the ring.
I did. I pawned the ring. When I came home, I said to her, oh, Mom, I lost the ticket. She said, did you have a good time? I said, I had a ball. She said, that's all that matters. But when I was in New York, I was illegal. And I got a job in a soap opera.
Now, tell me, who told you about the job?
Oh, Thorsten Keyes, a guy that worked on One Life to Live, came in. He said, listen, there's an audition on ABC for an Irish maid in One Life to Live. Do you want to go in for it? And I said, I will, yeah. So I went in and I say it in the book. I kind of borrowed a few numbers and made up a social security number. I may or may not have done that. But and I got the part. And then I was having a great time and earning lots of money and came home for Christmas. And I was kind of like Joan Collins at the door, you know, fur hats and long coats and thought I was fabulous. And then I went back to JFK and I was deported. They found receipts actually from Macy's from the previous December. So I was escorted by armed guard home. And
that
arrived.
Was the end of the American adventure.
And that was the end of the American adventure, yeah.
You had an Amsterdam adventure and a guy for whom you still may hold a candle.
Not now, but I did. I actually say in the book, you know, I went to Amsterdam, but I met this man in a room, you know, like you never think. You kind of think, well, all the poems and songs and books are written about falling in love at first sight. But I was like, that never happens. That's nonsense. It never happened to me because I'm way too practical, you know. And then I went into a room and I saw this man across the room and I kind of went, oh, my God. So I kind of go through that whole story in the book. But
and we won't give too much away to why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, we'll fast forward towards your latest career, which you subsequently have abandoned, and that is a barrister. Now, coming from where you did, living between Pierce Square and Crumlin, you know, the ambition to become a barrister would have been a very rare one. So how did it happen to you?
Well, I think I was, I suppose my mother and father, they weren't, my father was a businessman, so they were never intimidated by really anyone. They kind of just said, you can do what you like, you can be what you like, you know. So I came home and I my mother listened to the radio, so she heard an ad for King's Inns and she said, oh, didn't you want to be a barrister at one stage? And I said, yeah, I always did. But I kind of thought, like, in my head, like, I was wearing wigs and gowns and tabs. And it was in, now I realise it was kind of for the glamour. And maybe the actress in me was like more interested in dressing up than actually the actual work. But I went and started a law degree at King's Inns, which was amazing. And I wouldn't regret it. It was amazing. And then I was practicing, you know. But yeah, I loved it. Like, I'd be running down the hill at Church Street, you know, thinking I was fabulous. And then I'd see my brother going by in a roofing van, roaring at me out the window. And I'd be like, shut up, stop. And they'd be messing with me, you know, but yeah.
So now you're a full-time writer, but you're also a comedian.
Well, I used to be a comedian. Yeah, I used to do a lot of shows with Catherine Lynch, and we did a lot of shows around the town. We had a great time. And I really prefer writing now. It's a lot of fun.
And how's the health after the kidney transplant?
Brilliant and amazing. A brilliant team up in Vincent's and Beaumont, especially Vincent's. They're phenomenal. Great. I mean, a gift, an absolute gift. I'm so lucky.
All right. Now, the book is on sale where?
Oh, the book is on sale. Books Upstairs on Delir Street, online and in the shop. And also Sweeney's Pharmacy, that gorgeous Joycean landmark
one, yeah,
on Westland Row. Dubray Books on Grafton Street. Books on the Green in Sandymount. And also on Amazon. But I prefer local bookshops.
To get the business.
Yeah.
Sheila, it's a pleasure having you in the studio. The
Thank
book is called
so
Can I Have Your Arm Bracelet When You Die?
Yeah.
That was Esther's. And you have it?
Yes,
you
I do.
Indeed. Sheila, thank you very much
thank
for joining
you
so us
so much,
in
Pat,
studio
for having
today.
Me. Thanks a million.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.